He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. This is Ministry of the Badge. Welcome back to Ministry of the Badge. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in on all the different platforms. Thank you for tuning in on YouTube. Again, you make videos on YouTube, which is a very unusual thing, but you do it in hopes that people will at least listen to it. I know I watch a lot of YouTube videos, and I actually don't watch them. I actually play them in the background, and I'll listen to their sound, and hopefully you do the same. I put on a presentation for you last week on Ministry of the Badge to show you what we're talking about, lessons from the centurion. And I created the picture of the centurion just to add to the effect that, can you imagine being this person? You get up one day on patrol and you go out the door and there's something going on at home, someone's sick, and you just don't want to be there. And most of us would probably take a sick day, and maybe that's what this guy did. Who knows? But nonetheless, this centurion finds himself in a predicament where he has to go to a person he knows is going to help him. And he knows this beyond a shadow of doubt. And why do we know this? Because of his words. The first and foremost point we have to understand about the centurion is he's a man who, as we've talked about, is well respected in his area, so much so that he was able to get people to go to Jesus for him. And because they honored him, and because they, doesn't say they were, well, their friends do eventually come to Jesus as he's getting closer to the house. So here we find ourselves now with Jesus coming close to the home. I put the centurion at his door. Was he at his door in anticipation of Jesus coming? Was he tending to the sick servant? We don't know. But we do know that he is anticipating Jesus. He's looking for Jesus to be there. And one of the other lessons that we have to learn from this centurion is his acknowledgement of who Jesus is. Jesus is probably the single most significant figure ever to have walked the face of the earth. And in those days, his reputation was beyond most people's that we have ever seen. And Jesus wasn't seeking fame and fortune or anything like that. We know that historically Jesus walked the earth, and that it was rumored, if you don't believe in miracles, that he had healed people and that he was claiming to be the Son of God. And some felt he was a good teacher. They talked about rabbis. Some to this day feel like he is or was a good teacher, when in fact this man acknowledged Jesus in a different way than most others did. How do we know this? Because again, the Bible says, if you look in Luke 7:7 and 7:8, the words this man uses, especially in this particular passage, he says to him, look, I know, like me, you're under authority. But he says, I too am under authority. So he understands that Jesus walks on earth. He hears, he's heard, maybe on his own, that Jesus speaks all the time of doing the Father's will, the Father's work. I'm here to do what my Father wants me to do. So this man understands that Jesus is acting but not acting on his own accord. He's acting on behalf of the will of his Father. So he acknowledges Jesus as being someone under authority. So far to the point that he says, I know you just have to say the word. Like I give a word to command and tell people where to go. I tell my servants to go here, to go there, wherever it is. I know that's what you have to do, and my servant will be healed. Now, to understand the power that that takes, he is equating his ability to give commands to tell someone to go down the road and go get me something, go grab me a horse, go whatever it is. He's saying to Jesus, I know you have to do the same thing and sickness will go away. That's an acknowledgement of divine power. And you're not just saying that to someone. There is not a person that you've ever met on patrol that you could say to them, hey, I know if you, you know, you could command and do this. But there are people out there who can go to God in prayer. And you can as well. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know God, you look all around you, you see the birds and you see the trees and you see the water, you see the grass, the rocks, all of those things speak to the nature of God. You cry out to him, he can and will hear you. We'll get to more of that later. But do you have enough confidence in someone to look at them and say, I know if you did this, this will happen? Well, this is what this man is saying to Jesus. I know that all you have to do is give the word and my servant will be healed. That you have an ability unlike anything we've ever seen before. So we should learn lessons from this man about Jesus. Maybe you're the person on the department who's the only Christian. I've heard a lot of cops tell me that. Well, I'm the only Christian on the department. Man, I became a Christian. I don't have any more friends on the department because you don't go drinking with them anymore. You don't go to the after parties anymore. A lot of times I didn't. And even when I did, the guys knew I didn't drink. You go for the camaraderie after a while, but I didn't spend a lot of time doing that. What does this have to do with the servant, the centurion? Well, I don't know. The Bible doesn't speak to what kind of life this man led, but the Bible is speaking to the character of the man, and he is a cop. See, when I started investigating and I started studying, when I put together a presentation called Ministry of the Badge, I started to realize that it was significant that the Bible was using men of authority, in particular centurions, who were the forefathers of what we were to become cops. I mean, remember, we talked about our shields and everything are created, the shield, right? The badge that we wear from the Roman shield, and you wear it over your heart because it's where the Romans, you know, when they lined up to block themselves from arrows or whatever, they took a shield and they covered each other's hearts, right? So that's why we wear a shield over our hearts. So this isn't coincidence. God knew after all those years that you'd be on the road, that you'd be wearing the shield, that there's many of you who where it's shields over your hearts or shields in your pockets or shields, right? He understood all of that. He designed it that way. He designed you that way. So do you think it was coincidence that all of these years later, he put in the Bible and had people who talk about being godly while on patrol and now I'm doing a podcast And I'm not doing anything, I'm sure, new. I know of other men who have talked and related, and maybe not quite in this way, but it doesn't matter, because there are men out there and women out there who understand who we are as police officers and who we are as people who wear the badge. And so they've equated their Christian walk and the things that they've done with being under authority. So here we have a centurion who in those days walked the streets of Jerusalem. And again, we give him to be a 10 to 15 year guy. That's my guess, given his rank and all of those things. That's my guess. Could be shorter, could be longer. I'm not sure. I'm simply making a guess. But the point being, he recognizes Jesus as having divine authority. Not just some good teacher, not just some magician, not whatever the case may be. He recognizes Jesus as being a authority figure. And because of that reason, he can be so confident as to say, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Now, this I find to be even better, more rewarding, is what Jesus says about him. Remember, we talked about in different parts of the Bible, it says the centurion came to Jesus. When in Luke, it says elders came and then friends came. But because it was recognized back in those days, when someone of higher authority sent a person on their behalf to whoever it is they were meeting with, it was as if though the person themselves, the higher authority themselves, were coming to the person they wanted to speak to. So Jesus, hearing the words of the friends and of the elders, knows that it's not them that are saying all these things. They are speaking on behalf and the words of the centurion. And especially the part he's God, of course, so he knows the hearts of all mankind. So not only does he know, because of the nature of the day where, you know, these people are coming to him, he also knows the hearts of the men that are speaking to him. It's not their words. It's the words of the centurion that say to him, just give the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus picks up on that. Why? Why do we know this? Because it says when Jesus heard these things, remember everything that was just said to him by those friends that walked up to him on behalf of the centurion, everything that he just heard, he marveled at him being the centurion, this cop. And I'm sure when you listen and you picture the word marveled, you marvel at something. Think about your look. Think about the expression on your face. If you ever look at the majesty of the mountains or a view of the ocean, you marvel at them, right? You look out over that and you marvel at them. Imagine the look on Jesus' face when he turns to these people. He has to have a smile from ear to ear. Can you believe this? I've never seen anything like this. I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And the crowd is probably standing there looking at him. Like, who's he talking about, right? Maybe they overhear the conversation. But those who did hear it, because he's followed by a crowd of people. How many is a crowd? I don't know. 5, 10, 20, 30, hundreds? And they're speaking. And there's probably some excitedness, right? Think about the people on the calls that you come to. Think about, you know, you think about all the goings on, this sense of hype. Imagine standing there. Jesus is probably, you know, the story before that, Jesus is walking into the city and boom, here comes these guys. And he's probably teaching and walking and talking with people, and here they come, excited. And he turns to this crowd when he's walking along because he's not too far away from the house. And again, I put it as if though he's walking to the gate. I don't know if that's the case or not. And he marvels at what the centurion, the heart of the centurion, the acknowledgement of him, all the things that he's been saying, all during his ministry. That sense of, wow, this is the whole point. I love when they get it. Look, this is it right here. This is what I've been talking about. Never have I seen, I tell you, in all of Israel, in all the people that are supposed to know, in all the people who knew about me coming, who from the prophets on have heard about me. Not in all of them, but this man, who maybe just heard the story, who maybe has known my reputation for a little while, who obviously understands my people, who helped build the synagogue for them. In this man, there it is right there. There it is right there. That's what he's saying. There it is right there. This is what I want you to realize who I am. And this is it right here. This cop is the example that I want you to see. This is what Jesus is saying. It's on his face. He marvels at that. Because several writers write the same thing. He marvels at that. However the story was heard and it was laid upon their hearts, the emphasis was on the fact that Jesus was very well impressed and happy with what he heard from the heart of this cop. And again, it's not coincidental to know that he has done this on purpose for you. If you're that cop that knows him and you're that cop that understands him, then you need to be that cop who is the one your fellow officers, your fellow agents can come to, because you have what they need. Their sick lives can be healed with your prayers for them, for God to open their eyes to who Jesus is. You have that ability. So why don't you share it? Why is it you keep it hidden? What's so embarrassing about being a Christian? If you are embarrassed of me in front of man, I will be embarrassed of you in front of the Father. I will be ashamed of you. Enough playing around. Knock it off. Live as though you are him walking the face of the earth because you're his representative. Remember, where you go and you speak on his behalf, people will see you. If what you do is go along to get along, if what you do is you are doing all the same things that your fellow officers on either side of you are doing, or your fellow agents are doing on either side of you, and you're doing those same things, and you then proclaim Jesus Christ, they're going to say, well, why should I believe? I do everything that you do. Why should I now take that extra step that really doesn't seem to do anything for you? They're not saying to you, well, I know if you pray, I know if you just say the word, I know. No, they're just going, no, okay, now you're going to tell me about Jesus. No, I don't want to hear about that. Not going to party, not going to do all this, not going to, no, why would I do that? We have such a short time, such a short window to live on this planet, and we waste it not speaking about Jesus, especially those of us who are in law enforcement. Again, if you're hearing this kind of thing for the first time, and someone, you know, your buddy who I'm talking about told you about this show, and you go, this is all this Jesus talk, religious stuff. Yeah, with the church when I was a kid. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I go to that. Oh, yeah, okay, I get it. No, you don't. No, you don't. But you will. The Bible is clear in what it says. So if you are that person, I don't need religion. No, no one needs religion. The religious are the ones who went to Pilate. Remember that. The religious are the ones that cut off heads and cry out, God is wonderful. Those are religious people. The religious do all kinds of religious things. But those who have a relationship with Christ, those who know him, who he lives inside of them, and they're not telling you about them, shame on them. But just because they don't, I now am, and the Bible says you don't have any excuses because of everything you see around you. And that sense of goodness that you have inside you comes from the conscience that God had laid on your heart. And every one of us has been put, God has been put in us in the sense that we know that there is something, quote, higher than us, above us. And so you don't have an excuse. What you really don't want to do is surrender your lifestyle. You really don't want to be kept what you believe in restraints. But really what you don't understand is you are actually restrained. You are actually handcuffed to those problems that you're having, to your drinking, to your cheating, to whatever it is you're doing. You are handcuffed to that. And there ain't no key that's going to break you free from that, that you have in your pocket. There's not a one-size-fits-all key that you have on your person that can free you from any of that. I could quit anytime. Yeah, sure. You could quit anytime. But you'll go right back to it because you don't have strength enough to stay away from it. I've been a good person all my life. Yeah, I do all those things. I don't lie on patrol. I don't do all that stuff. I don't need to know this Jesus guy. Really? Then why does he cause you such problems when you hear his name? Why is there that twinge? I don't want to talk about religion. Why? Why? Why doesn't the world want to talk about religion? Religion and politics. Religion and politics. No one wants to talk religion and politics. Yet religion and politics hurts you the most. If we just didn't have the church. Yep, that's what the communists think. But don't fool yourself. This particular centurion got it in a time where he probably experienced all kinds of rioting. I went through riots. Part of my city burned down. This man probably saw all of that through the people that he served. Talking about being in a neighborhood where you're hated. That was this guy. And yet now he's coming to the one person they're all starting to not like, And so he sees this person as being the one solution to a problem that obviously no one else could do. He has to come to him, and so will you someday. So will you someday. So don't fool yourself into believing that you can just not come to Jesus, because there will come a time, the Bible is pretty clear, there will come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord unto the Father. There's no getting around that. You can ignore it now. You can make a choice to, I don't want to listen. Yeah, you can turn off this show right now. Absolutely. Absolutely. This recording will be forever. You may not hear me say this again because you're like, that's this guy. He's just too religious. Yeah, he's a cop, whatever. He doesn't understand. He's probably one of those hug a holy cop guys. Nope. Nope. Fought with people. Had the unfortunate experience of taking someone's life when it was necessary. Kicked in doors. Jumped out of vans with my gun drawn to keep people away from store. I've done all of that. Never shied away from things like that. I just know this. There's a lot of people I know who worked one of the most stressful jobs in the entire world, being law enforcement. And some of you experience far more stress than me. You're a Secret Service guy. You're jet setting all over the place. You're in a minute. You're gone. You're constantly away from your family. You have no idea how long your assignment is going to last. Stress from at home, stress on the job, stress to protect. You're that person. You understand. But if you're that same person and you have Jesus, you can turn to him. Because you understand you can't do it on your own. I've had friends, close friends, commit suicide because they're cops, right? They can handle it. They can handle it. And I don't have any idea. I could guess, but I don't have any idea what their relationship, if at all, with Jesus was. Just in my own area of influence, there was a department down in Texas recently, I believe it was Texas, that experienced 7 suicides. Some retirees. And maybe you're a retiree like me, and you lost that sense of who you are. And maybe that guy you worked with who knew Jesus, maybe you don't stay in touch with him anymore. Now you don't have anybody. And you're trying to figure out what to do. And you believe that your life is useless now. I mean, yeah, you were stressed at the job. You had to retire. I know a gentleman who basically froze to death. He hadn't even been retired a year. Left his house one day, a lot of pressure at home. We found him blocks away from his house, froze to death, like some kind of homeless guy, a cop. Does that make any sense? And you can say, well, Chaplain Gonzo, how come you didn't help him? I talked to him. But ultimately, you have to make that choice. Law enforcement around the world is being attacked. But in particular, here in the United States, the Western world. Constantly, they talk about changing law enforcement. I'm saying, and what many Christian officers that I know believe, if they would just find Jesus, if they would just come to Jesus, their area of influence, wherever it is they walk, they are assigned, the people they are assigned to, it would change for the better. There would be, hopefully, no suicides. You say, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. And no, I don't believe that the whole world is going to become Christian and there is going to be a time. It's better to do it now than it will be a time after. Again, you don't have to listen to this podcast. You could ignore all of this. You could have turned it off a long time ago. Maybe you come back across it. Maybe you caught a clip. But I'm telling you right now, does Jesus marvel at the things that you say? Because watch the result. The rest of it is, and when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. He was healed. Why? Because Jesus healed him. And he marveled at the fact that the centurion understood that. He loved the fact that the centurion, who he came for, that cop, that intentionality to put it on a cop, next show that we do on Good Friday, again, it is going to be intentional that a cop, a centurion, another centurion, doesn't say if it's the same one or not. And I believe if it did, the Bible would say that, because it says that about other people when they come back into the picture. They'll say, oh, by the way, it's that guy. But in the next lesson that we learn from a centurion, it's a whole different person. I truly believe that. And so now here is Jesus marveling, and now these servants see that, wow. And here's the crazy part. Did you hear in any of that Jesus say, yes, go be healed? He didn't say that. He doesn't say anything. The centurion had enough faith to know that once the message was sent to Jesus, because the centurion is at home. Imagine he's probably celebrating, embracing this person. In what time frame, I don't know, but I'd be willing to bet He's either outside the room or in the room with that person, and he's sitting there. And he has enough faith to know that once that message reaches Jesus, Jesus will heal that person. Just say the word. Now, the Bible doesn't say again that Jesus spoke any kind of words of that. He just said he marveled at what the centurion said. And by the time the servants went back, Jesus could do it with a thought. But by the time the servants went back, the friends went back. That sick servant as well. Again, we don't know what he was sick with. There were medicine people of that day, doctors of that day. But it obviously wasn't until Jesus, like he did with many a person. He didn't heal everybody he came across, but he healed many. And he healed this person. So now that brings it back to you. What do you do with this information? What do you do with this information? If you've stuck with me this long, and even if you didn't, you're going to hear this again. Whether you hear me say it or you hear someone else say it, you say, well, Chap and Gonzo, why would you? Why would you say if you don't think they're listening? Oh, because they'll hear it. It doesn't have to be from me. But what I need you to do is I need you to go to Jesus. Oh, I don't know how to do that. Yep. You just simply have to say. I believe in your divinity. You have to use those words. But I know coming to you, you're the solution to my problem. I'm sick inside. I'm handcuffed to this sin that I'm in. I'm handcuffed to my sense of I think I can do it all. My sense of pride. Boy, I'm feeling all kinds of pressure that I can't tell anybody else about. I don't want to go for help. It's weak. But I'm at my wit's end. I can't do it anymore. I'm not good. My family life is falling apart. I rely on this stupid bottle. I get off work and I just go home and drink myself to sleep. Can't unsee all the bad things that I've saw. That kid haunts my memory, dying in front of me. That person I had to use force against, it's bothering me. I can't sleep. But I know you. And I confess to you that I can't do it anymore, that I'm not a good person. And that you're the only thing that can cure me. Can you just help me? I surrender it all to you because I can't do it. Because if I don't know what's going to happen. I've heard you died on a cross. To save my sins, I guess it means I have a bad life. That's me. I've heard this story. I believe that. I know. I just have to accept and you say the word and I will be good. Because whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, in him, the divine, the person with a divine nature, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what you need to do. And whether you do it in your patrol car by yourself as you sit there during your shift, as you're sitting in a chair or outside a door watching someone, as you're driving through a desert trail somewhere along a big border wall, or later today, you're going to go on a raid and you're listening in your ear pods, this podcast, because you don't know what's going to happen next. You could step out onto that road. You could kick in that door you're about to kick in. And one lucky shot from the person on the inside, take your life, and then it's too late. There's no purgatory. There are no second chances when you're dead. You don't have to believe me. Doesn't matter. I'm telling you the truth. Now is the day of salvation. Right now. And you just have to say the words. Any way, you have to say them and have to believe and know that Jesus can and will save you from what ultimately will come. It is given every man once to die. We will all die a physical death. And then the judgment. Don't let this message fall on deaf ears. Some of you it's going to. The unfortunate part about it is I'm not a fool. I know some of you listen and just scoff at it. Don't bother me. Leave the comments below. Tell me all about it. Tell me how wrong I am. The things that I say, that's all right. I want to hear from you. Drop me an email, chaplaingonzo@gmail.com. Let me know. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you anyway. But just understand this. This was intentional. God chose to deliver this message about who he is and the marveling of a person who wore the badge, who wore the shield. That was intentional. Which means it was intentional for you. He created authority. He created governed authority. He gave the responsibility of authority first to the family, and then the family later on establishments a form of government. We'll get into all that on Ministry of the Badge. If you heard this message today on this podcast, thank you for tuning in. Man, I got some good stuff coming up for you. I spoke to friends of mine who are going to come out here. And they're going to talk about their passion for Jesus. I got two ladies, one on a department, one who's not on a department. But boy, she's got a heart for cops. She makes prayer cards. She'll be on. They'll be on talking to you about who they believe you are and why they're doing what they're doing for law enforcement. I have another friend who I served with on the Billy Graham Chaplaincy Association. I'm arranging so I can do an interview with him, and he'll come on here and talk about their program and about his own testimony about who he was as a cop. And he's a cop's cop. I have another friend coming up in the weeks, and this is very important to me. It's even more important to me because this is a story that's recent within the last couple months. The ICPA has changed their model and taken God, so help me God, out of it. So help me, I'll do my job. So help me who. They've taken it out of it. So I have a gentleman that I know who was a former chief of police. He's retired now. He's going to come on and we're going to talk about that and talk about his walk. But what kind of foolishness is that? What kind of foolishness is that? You think that brings about a good change in law enforcement? You have got to be kidding me. We're cops, man. Come on, really? So we're going to talk about that. As you can tell, I'm not real thrilled with it. And I won't get into it all now. I have a lot of strong feelings about it. But it's wrong. And if you don't know about this and you're a chief of police, look into it. Don't take my word for it. Look into it. Because that organization that you belong to has just taken God out of it. Craziness. So we got that coming up on Ministry of the Badge. Remember, every Friday I'm going to drop a new episode. Next week's going to be Good Friday. It's going to be a good episode. It's going to be a real good episode. So tune in, would you? Again, I appreciate it. I'd appreciate if you subscribe. I appreciate everything about you. And remember, the only way to be a good warrior, to be a good shepherd, sheepdog of the people, is to be a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ.